Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hill. Today is Tuesday, September the 20th, 2016. I currently have 7 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Tonight's invocation will be given by Councilmember Crawley and then the pledge by Councilmember Bailey. So, Mr. Crawley.
Our Father in Heaven, we're thankful that we can meet together as a community and that we can discuss the community business, and we're thankful for the free country that we live in and for the blessings that we have and for the wonderful neighborhood and friends that we are associated with. And we pray that we can make good decisions for the city and that we can be respectful in all of our conversations and friendly in all that we do. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. The audience, please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Thank you. All right. First item that I need to take care of is the approval of the meeting's agenda. So if someone's had a chance to look at the agenda and will give me a motion to approve it, I will take that now.
I move that we approve the agenda.
Okay. I have a motion to accept the agenda as is. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Next item is public comments. This is where we allow anyone to come and speak to the council. We give them up to 3 minutes to be able to say whatever that they would like. I have two people that have signed up to speak tonight. Angela, is it Bergogna?
Bergogna.
Okay.
May I interrupt for 1 second? Councilmember Zappala is calling me. He's ready to be conferenced in.
Is somebody conferencing him in?
We're going to right okay. Now.
All right. So I will continue. So Angela, you signed up for number 8. You can either talk now or wait until number 8.
I'll let you talk now.
Okay.
Is that better?
It's whatever you prefer.
Okay.
And so just 1 second. Becky Hoffman?
Yes.
Mrs. Hoffman? You've also signed up for number 8. Do you want to speak now or when item number 8 comes up?
You know what? I'll wait too. The more I think about it, I think that's fine.
Okay, you'll both wait till item number 8 comes up. Very good. So, is there someone who wanted to speak in public comments and did not sign up? If not, then I will close public comments at this time and we will move on to our consent agenda. Looks like we have 2 items. First item is the appointment of Megan Rasmussen to the Cultural Arts Citizens Advisory Committee, and minutes from one meeting. It was the August 16th, 2016 City Council meeting. So if someone would like to make a motion on the consent agenda, I will take that now.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been seconded by Mr. Geddes.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Let's move on to city business and reports. Starting from my right, we'll go with Mrs. Reese first and then go down the row.
I don't have any updates this week.
Okay, Mr. Crawley.
I don't either.
Okay. Next, the mayor does not have anything. Mr. Geddes.
I have nothing to report.
Oh, I do have something, actually, which is that I spoke with the assistant superintendent of Alpine School District, and at our next council meeting, the superintendent, assistant superintendent, or someone of that rank will be here to make a presentation to the council on the bond that the Alpine School District is trying to float this year, which is about $387 million. So they will be here to talk about that. All right. Mr. Bailey. Mr. Bunker, go ahead.
I just have a couple things. Flag football is off to a great start this year, and we have 438 participants this year. Last year we had 381, so it's an increase in participation there. So our youth are taking advantage of that. Our team program has 6 teams as well, so it's good to have our team youth get involved as well. We do have a rainout hotline now that is available for participants to call. If it's raining, we typically try to keep playing, even in the rain, unless there's lightning. So there's a hotline. If parents do need to get the information, if the games have been canceled, they can call that hotline.
Is that available through the website?
It is, yep. We will be aerating the golf course next week, Monday, Tuesday, so we will only have 9 holes open each of those days while that is done. And this is a really important thing for our golf course. There will be a plants and soils class tomorrow night here in the basement. Diane does a great job teaching those classes, so please come and support her. The golf course nets are scheduled. The poles will be the existing net and poles will be taken down the first week of October, and we have new poles that will all be the same height going in October 4th, 5th, and 6th, and then after that the nets will come in. So during that time frame, we will be closing the driving range. There will be no driving range practice during that time. I did have a Timpanogos Special Service District meeting last week, and they're finishing up on one of their projects there for the composting drying beds. Just so that you know, we are phasing out of composting at the district. So it's a 5-year plan to phase out. At the end of that 5-year period, the district will not accept green waste any longer because we will not be able to make any compost. At that point, the district will have to haul all of the byproduct sludge from the treatment process either to a landfill or to another location. And that has not been determined, but there will be a multi-million dollar swing in cost to the district when that happens. So just so everyone's aware, composting is going away, and that will mean increased sewer rates coming our way.
So the golf course has its own website, right?
They do.
Are they putting up the aerating issue on their own website?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if they have it.
Why don't we make sure it's on their website and our website, and we're just communicating that to all of our golfers. Okay, I believe that's it. So now we are going to move on to item number 8, which is an action item. So Angela, I will have you come first. You've got 3 minutes. So if you want to come up to the podium, state your name and address, and then you have 3 minutes.
My name's Angela Bergangi. I live at 10274 Bay Hill Drive, and just wanted to take a minute to talk about the Bay Hill Park. And thank you all for everything you do for our city. We really love living here. Just to explain a little bit about me and my interest in the park, we've lived in Cedar Hills for 10 years now. We lived 5 years on Sugarloaf, where the yard was very tiny, the street was very tiny. My neighbor and I would pull our camp chairs out all the time and sit on our driveways and watch our kids play. And then we moved to a house on Bay Hill about 5 years ago, and one of our biggest concerns was the small lot sizes. We love the neighborhood so much, we decided to go there. I know you guys are probably thinking, you get to choose where you live, why are you complaining about this? But my point in sharing that is just to demonstrate how tiny our lots are up there, how little space the hundreds of kids that live up there have to play. They're in the street all the time. We arguably have the smallest lots in the city, considering that we're on that hill. A lot of the lots are sloping. There's just not much grass space at all. So again, I don't say that to complain about that issue, but just to demonstrate in open eyes that we really could use some grass space in a little destination to go. We've used the dinosaur park a lot, but kids above 6 or 7 aren't that interested in going there because the grass is all on a hill. There's not much else to do but play on the little sides, which are great for little kids, but we could really use a bigger space. We use the parks a ton. We are at Mesquite Park all the time. We don't feel comfortable sending our kids to go over there just on their own. We don't like them crossing Canyon Road and then even walking on a busy road. I know just last Saturday a neighbor rounded up a bunch of 10-year-olds to bring them over to just play flag football, and she plans to do that every Saturday, which is fine. That's our role as moms, but it'd be so nice to have that space like that in our neighborhood where we could be doing that so much easier. The other day I was driving by our church on Bay Hill, and a neighbor was setting up a volleyball net in the front of the church where there's a little patch of flat grass, because that's about all we have in the neighborhood, and he was just doing it with family and friends, but there's just nowhere for us to go up there. that Bay Hill Park is, of course, right next to the LDS building up there. And we all know how much LDS youth groups are using that every night. There's lots of kids up there. They'd be able to use that grass space a lot. I guess my point in sharing this is to explain that this is much more than just a neighborhood park for a few people on the street. A lot of people are going by this area. Of course, it's on the Bonneville Shoreline Trail. We use that trail all the time to walk to the Tippinogas Cove Park. Our family does a lot. And I know it's nice to have a destination, a place to walk. Our city is so good on the youth sports. We love it. We have kids playing tonight. I have kids playing tonight. We love that about the city. Usually our soccer plan is for the team is to go to Mesquite Park and find an open patch of grass and practice there. Sometimes we've ended up behind the soccer standards in a little spot, and it's usually fine, but sometimes it's crowded, so it'd be so nice to have somewhere that's right in our neighborhood to go and with our little neighborhood teams. I wish so much that we could grade it out a little bit more. I understand that there's money constraints, but it's a little bit disappointing to see the small patch of grass. I think that's what we so desperately want. It's not, there's no steep grades like that Tippinogas Cove Park that has so much grass. I know that there's maintenance concerns with that and stuff, but that's definitely my biggest wish list item is just a flat piece of grass to play soccer and football and things like that. It's frustrating for it's definitely a hot topic issue. I feel like in our neighborhood we talk about it a lot whenever we're out there, often when we're out there. And it's frustrating, of course, in 2009 there were funds approved for it that got eaten up when the Tippinogas Cove Park went in that got all the money since, I don't know, it was over budget. And then, of course, the rec center got updated and other parks have gotten bathrooms and things as we keep getting passed up. So we're nervous about pushing this off another year. We really want it to get done already. We feel like it's worth the cost. We feel like we've waited and been patient. So
thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Okay. Becky?
Well, I could just say ditto to everything that Angela said. We've lived here 15 years, and when we moved in, the realtor told us, there's going to be a park down below where your house is. We live on Bay Hill, 10319 North Bay Hill Drive, so we look down on the area that's going to be the park. 15 years is a long time to wait for that park to come in, and so I fought for it. Every time there's been a chance to bring it up with the council, I've tried to get people sign anything that I could get to get the park in. My grandkids now have grown up. They're past the age, really, where they could enjoy the park. But I see all these little kids in our neighborhood. We have a lot of children that are playing in the street, and to me, it's not fair. There is a moral question here because we see other parks go in when the houses are bigger, the people have more money, but our park gets put off and put off and put off. Morally, it's wrong. And so I'm asking for these children. They're going to be below me and they're going to be making noise that I'll be hearing in my home. I don't care. They deserve a park. The other park that went in, very small little park, parents donated money just to have that park put in. I donated money for that park. And so I love Cedar Hills. We're choosing Cedar Hills over our place in Florida because we love the people here. But to leave this park and not do it for another year, we wait and wait and wait. So please consider that when you make the decision. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. So we're going to turn this over to the council. I do want to say a couple of things, which is... Oh, do you want to speak as well?
I didn't sign in, though.
That's okay. Why don't you come up and tell us your name, address, and you've got 3 minutes.
Okay. I'm Donna Lyle. My address is 10233 Tamarack Way. I live in the cul-de-sac there. And I didn't plan to speak at all, Angela and Becky just did great. But I happen to remember something that happened in the past that all of a sudden clicked with me, and I thought I would share this with you. This park issue is the same kind of an issue of not having the park, the same kind of an issue that happened many years ago here. I would say it was probably in 2007 or 8. I'm sorry, I don't have the date. But we were living up there, and the streets, the curbs, the sidewalks, the no street lights, it was truly like a third world country. It was in very bad shape. And the city council allowed that to continue. So one time we got a little organized, just very few people like you see now, and we came before the council. Well, the thing of it is like with you, I'm seeing a new council that you are not experiencing the problem and the plea for a new park from years ago, because you're all new and you're not feeling the emotion and the need and the real strong need for it. Just like when we went up and spoke to the council about the need for, the streets were falling apart, the curbs were cracked, it was no street lights, and that was again a whole new council. They hadn't experienced it, and here now we were bringing it to them, and oh, we didn't know that, and that's the way it was, because we had copies of letters, and they got out a copy, and somebody happened to have one. They never saw that letter, and it's not here to criticize individuals, but we're a body together, and I just, again, want to emphasize that please don't, Bobby and I, my husband and I, are almost the only family without children or grandchildren, and I see these beautiful families with their kids, and they need this desperately, and to put them off another year, it's just, remember, it's the park promise, ladies and gentlemen, and you must fulfill that promise, because it was promised 15 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else that would care to speak? Okay, so I will just say one thing, which is that this council has already approved the construction of the park. That already happened. The only thing we're talking about tonight is whether we accept some bids which are high. And so the question is, do we spend an additional $100,000 of your taxpayer dollars to do it right now? And the person from the engineering firm was stating whether they're not even sure they'd be able to get it done before the spring anyway. So we would rebid it in the spring. And the reason that the bids are high, it's that this time of the year, contractors appear to be busy. And so the question is not whether the park's going to be done, because this body already voted to do the park. Now, I don't know about promises 15 years ago. The first time that I can see where the Cedar Hills Council as a body actually approved this was when this council did that. Now, there may have been individual council members years ago that said they were going to do this, or they put it on the capital projects list, which is not a promise, but it's still an intent to do something. And so, but this body has acted. Now we're just trying to figure out, do we spend $100,000 or so more of your taxpayer dollars to try and get it done right now, or do we wait to the spring, rebid it at a reasonable price, and then get it done next spring? That's really what we're discussing tonight, not whether we're going to do it or not. So, Mr. Bunker, why don't you present?
So, Mayor and Council, the city did put out this park project to bid. We only received two bids. The low bid was from Stratton and Brott Landscape for $518,974. The next bidder was S&L Incorporated at $520,000 even. And the engineer's estimate from Bowen and Collins was $363,000, so quite a bit over. I called Bowen and Collins to find out why the bids came in so high and what were the issues, why was the engineer's estimate not close. And so they made some calls. They actually called one of the bidders and said, hey, what's going on? And the bidder, that group said, if you would have waited just a couple months, we would knock off at least 5% off this bid right off the top. And so they just said that they're so busy and they have so many jobs right now that they're trying to finalize in the fall that for them to bid a job right now, they're going to pad it with extra funding. If we really want it, we're going to pay for it. So they said they would bid the job again and give us a better price if we were to do that.
But the bidding could come in as soon as 2 or 3 months from now rather than spring,
and
right?
So what we thought we would do is as I talked to Bowen and Collins, is we would rebid it the 1st of January and have a longer bid period to try to get more bidders to give us a price. We only got two bids on this proposal. But we were hoping to get more than that, so advertise more extensively to other contractors to hopefully entice them to bid the job. And then also give them a longer period of time to do the park. So they could start any time, first of the year, and then we would let them go probably until May. And so they would have that time, but it would still get done early in the spring. So one of the issues that Eric Neal with Bowen and Collins brought up in the work session is that it'll be difficult for us to get the improvements done this year anyway because of the timing. The asphalt companies, they're looking to gear down, not gear up. And when we go into competition with our little park versus a big 100-lot subdivision, the asphalt companies give deferential treatment to those big jobs. So we're going to be up against a kind of a tough spot there getting asphalt and done this year. Also, the plants, Eric mentioned that right now it's hard to actually get plants because the nurseries are not stocked up with all the materials. So they've specced out certain plants. We're not even sure we can get them. But in the spring, all the nurseries ramp right back up with all their stock, and we can get the plants we need in the park. We have an opportunity potentially to get some fill material. There's a substantial amount of fill material. We actually redesigned this whole park because the residents didn't like the original design. So we came in and we basically re-engineered the entire park top to bottom. We changed the location of the entrance to the park, which added a whole lot of fill because now the road has to come in on that south side. And so we have a lot of fill. We have an opportunity potentially through the winter to get maybe organize some opportunities for some fill. One of the things Eric also brought up is that they bid this as a lump sum project. It would be better to break this out into line items so that we can see exactly the cost that we're paying per line item. And one of those issues is the pavilion. The contractor who would do this job, he's going to build the road and put in the landscaping, but he's not a pavilion contractor necessarily. And talking with Eric, we could probably break the pavilion out and bid that to a company who just does pavilions. And that would give us a much better price on a pavilion. So the issue here isn't whether we're going to do the park. We anticipate doing the park. The issue is delaying the park a few months. Does this hurt the city or does it help the city? And so, ultimately, we probably will not be able to get all the improvements in this before winter anyway. So what we're talking is next spring, a month or two difference.
David, can I pause you for 1 second? Chandler, can we get Daniel back on the line?
Would be a month or so difference in the spring versus getting done, in April versus getting done in May. We would still bid the job in January, give a longer bid time, still receive bids back, hopefully more bids than what we received here. The question was asked to Eric, is there a guarantee that the bids will come in lower? And his response was, he couldn't guarantee it. However, they did have a conversation with one of the bidders, and he said, if you would have waited just a month or two, I would have lowered my price. So we anticipate that the price will be better. So, and as far as time, it may make a month or so difference in the final completion date of the park, but Really, we're looking at next spring to get the park done either way, whether you accept the bids tonight or you rebid the project in January.
Okay. Questions from the council?
Well, I have several comments. And I have them written down all over the place, so I apologize if my thoughts are kind of all over the place. I think everybody on the council knows that this is something I've been advocating for since I joined the council in 2012, and it's been a long process, even before then, as residents tonight have said. My concern with delaying is I just feel like it's been delayed multiple times. Originally, this park was supposed to be, I was told it was supposed to be completed around the time that Timpanogos Cove Park was built. However, Timpanogos Cove went way over budget, and so funds that were allocated to Bay Hill got moved over to Timpanogos Park to pay for the park that went over there. It was put in the fiscal year 2009 budget. I printed up a copy of that budget document from that time, where it was listed in the capital projects fund, and at that time it was allocated for $400,000. That was done in 2008 in the fiscal year 2009. And in 2009, the cost of the project was estimated at $400,000. And the reason for the project, it says Bay Hill Park will consist of a grassy area, playground equipment, and a parking lot. So the scope of the project has changed somewhat, but still contains the things that we were discussing. I think other than a pavilion hadn't been discussed in the fiscal year 2009 budget document. So it was in the 2009 budget document. It was delayed, obviously, because it's not built yet. So I'm not sure what happened in 2009, 2010, 2011, or 2012. In 2012 is when I started advocating for it. Also in 2009, the council was presented with a petition that was signed by 100 residents asking for the city to please finish that park. And I have made copies of the Daily Herald article for each of you that was printed in 2009. That was at the June 2nd, 2009 City Council meeting. And in that, a council member at the time was quoted for saying that Bay Hill Park was next on the list. In 2014, after trying to work on this, the council did agree to allocate my budget document here, $50,000 for phase one of the project because it had been delayed for so long. In 2014, that was budgeted and approved in the fiscal year 2015 budget document. However, it was decided at later that didn't make a lot of sense, that it made sense to do it as a bigger phase. So in 2015, we discussed it again and allocated $235,000 in the fiscal year 2016 budget. In fiscal year 2016, it was discussed again and decided that that would actually be cheaper if we did it all at once instead of phasing it in. And so in 2016, we approved the fiscal year 2017 budget for $446,224. So even since I've been on the council, it's been discussed and approved and allocated and then moved and delayed. I think that there's good reasons for that, and that's my concern, is that there's always a good reason to delay a project, and this one has been delayed several times. I looked through some notes from city council meetings in the past. In 2009, the Planning Commission had their June 25th, 2009 meeting. Chairman Dodge said that Bay Hill Park was put on hold until the next year. In June 1st, 2010, Councilmember Martinez said that the park was next on the Parks and Trails Master Plan. In 2013, July 16th, 2013, we discussed the park again, and that's when we put the first phase in fiscal year 2014. Another concern that I have is that if it's cheaper to do things in the spring, then I'm not quite sure why it was delayed this year and not put out to bid until September. It's my understanding that Bowen and Collins didn't receive updated plans from the city until May of this year, and that it took them several months. The Parks and Trails Committee did revamp the plans, but they did that last year. I've been serving on that committee all year long. We have not done any changes at all in 2016. I looked at minutes from the February 16th, 2016 City Council meeting where Shara Lowe stated that the Bay Hill Park plans will be finalized by the end of March with a bidding in early April. And for some reason that was delayed, and I'm not sure what that delay is. I did speak to Mr. Burganji. Angela's here tonight. Mr. Burganji does construction loans, and I asked him his thoughts on costs being lower in the winter. And his response to me was that the Utah County industry is quite busy right now, and that the contractors and subcontractors that he's been talking to have all told him they're actually paying their staff more money in the winter time to get construction completed so that way they have homes ready to sell in the spring. He said all the appraisers we work with are tapped out. If the city wanted a good deal on the park, they should have built it 5 years ago. Timing the next construction slowdown could take years. So his feeling was that based on his working in the industry, that we weren't going to see much of a slowdown over the winter months because builders were planning on building aggressively over the winter to be prepared for spring. And I think the rest of it is just what has been said tonight already. There's a lot of kids in that area. High density was granted in that area. It's one of the highest populated areas in the city. There isn't a lot of park space. People don't feel safe letting their kids cross the street to go play at Mesquite Park or Harders Park. Alpine School District agrees with us, which is why they supply a bus to the kids on the east side of Canyon Road. They don't want kids crossing Canyon Road to walk to school. So people don't want to send their kids across the street, and there isn't a lot of place to play. I've heard multiple times that we've run out of green space for our recreation programs, and while I understand Bay Hill's not going to be a significantly large park for our recreation programs, I have, at least when I was on the Parks and Trails Committee, there has been talk that the lower part of grassy space could function as a top soccer location, so it does give us a little bit more space for some of the preschool soccer games. And so I understand that costs are higher than we anticipated. We anticipated back in 2009 it was going to cost $400,000, and that was 7 years ago, and costs have gone up for everything in the last 7 years. The construction industry is busy, and of course when there's a lot of demand for something, prices are going to be higher for something. But my concern is that we reject these bids, we delay it again, and what happens in January? What happens if the prices come back and they're still high, or something else comes up that we decide, yeah, it makes sense to delay this project once again for another good reason? I just feel like we've done it too many times already, and that we do owe to these residents who have been promised a park that we get it done. In 2013 as well, when we finished the basement of this recreation center, I advocated then that we put a priority on Bay Hill Park because the basement of the recreation center wasn't even on our capital projects plan at the time. And that got bumped up. Mesquite Park restrooms got bumped up. Other projects that have been that were anticipated to be done after Bay Hill Park have been moved forward. And so I would just like us to see us actually move this forward, accept a bid, and move forward on it. A couple of questions I did have on the breakdown. It was interesting to me that Bowen and Collins said that they estimated we could have a savings on the pavilion, but if we don't have a cost breakdown, I'm not sure how they know that, if they don't even know how much the pavilion was bid at. And also, if asphalt season is at an end, I'm not sure how working over the winter helps, because if it's not, if it's at an end now, it's still going to be at an end in January and February. So those are my concerns. It's not that I don't think that saving money is a good thing. It's just that there's always been a reason to delay it, and I think we should stop delaying.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments?
I have some.
Go ahead.
So I was on the Parks and Trails Committee also. That was in 2013. Was it 2013? No, it was 2014. So 2014, and you know, I heard all about how it had been delayed. And so ever since I served on that committee, I've also been an advocate of the park and said it really should be a priority. And so I've been in favor of it the whole time and wanting to move it forward also. It is frustrating and a little confusing to me too why it's taken so long, but I know we did reconfigure it and we looked at three different plans. I think it was earlier this year too, wasn't it, that we were looking at those plans and approving them? Was that last year? I think that I feel the same way. It would have been nice if we would have gotten on it earlier, but at this point, heading into the winter, I'm not so sure that accepting one of these two bids that we don't even know what the detail on it is the best thing. But I also don't want to wait till next spring to bid it out again. I think that putting it out there really as soon as possible and saying, hey, we want detailed bids, and putting the time frame for building it, giving them more time so they can fill up their winter schedule. I think that people will bid out at a lower rate their winter schedule, whether they do it now or in a month from now. You know what I mean? So
you're saying to rebid it, but just don't wait until January to rebid. Just rebid right away.
I think we could rebid now, but have it give them the flexibility to start January through March timeframe, so that they're filling in their schedule for the winter, which they expect to be slower. Every contractor normally does expect the winter to be slower and wants to fill that in with something. And I'm not sure that'll even slow it down being done, because it sounds like these guys even are overbooked and they're not going to be able to start it very soon, it sounds like. And they're just throwing a price out there that's ridiculous, seeing if we'll take the bait. So I don't know. I think that we probably do need to require more detail on it so we can maybe accept parts and find a better price for some parts like the pavilion. Yeah. So that's my opinion, is we probably could just say, hey, we want to send it out for a bid again and we want more detail and give a little more flexibility on the building time. But anyway.
Okay. I know Mr. Sapal is on the phone. Daniel, are you wanting to say anything?
I think I want to listen to everybody else first.
Okay. Mr. Geddes, do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah. I was on the Parks Committee for 2015, I believe, and we looked at the park, and I think what, as the residents, my son lives in that neighborhood, and I think, although the timing is sometimes frustrating, I think we are getting a better park now than if we had done the park a year and a half ago. I think we as a council all agreed with that, because this is a complete different design. When Bowen and Collins came on board with the city, they took a look at the old design and said, you know, if you did it this way and, you know, put the entrance over on the south side rather than on the north side, we could make it more economical plus more usable. So I think part of the delay was that, and I hope that it helps the neighborhood enjoy a better park. I do agree with Rob on this one. I think that my recommendation would be to reject the bids now. I don't see there's any reason to wait till January. I think I'm not positive, but I think the bid opening before had a start and a completion date on it that caused some consternation amongst bidders. And I think if we bid it within the next 30, 60 days again, when they know they're going into the winter, but they know they could put their crews out as early as, you know, the weather permits in the spring to finish in June or July, we still get the park finished about the same time. And my recommendation is that we do separate it out, because we are over budget. I mean, we haggle over $1,000 here. Where are we going to come up with the $150,000? That's my question. I think there could be some areas where we might have to just, like, maybe we don't do the pavilion right off. You know, there's some things we might have to cut until we can fund it in another fiscal year. So I think if we know more detail, we can be better. We can make better decisions as a council as to where to allocate funds. And so I like the idea of rebidding it. I'd like to see more than two bids. I think we clearly are not getting, you know, the best prices. I think that's obvious, because there's a lot of landscape contractors, and I'm a contractor. I had a very difficult time this spring getting landscape contractors to even give me a number for a nice project, and so I understand that. As far as the asphalt, that is a real issue. The asphalt plants all close in around first of November. Usually, and you have to, in order to do asphalt, it has to be 50 degrees and rising to do asphalt. So it would be almost impossible if they even started like tomorrow to get it paved before the plant shut down. So, I mean, I think it's just a judicious thing as far as the money and the project are concerned. I'm 100% behind the project. I think it's a great design. I've offered some tips to maybe how we can save money that we talked about in work session, because I have a project myself next door that may have some extra fill that could be available for the site that could save some money as well. So I throw that out as a potential savings as well.
So just a quick question on the bid, since you brought that up. I'm assuming when a contractor puts together a bid, even though they gave us a lump sum, somewhere on their end, they've put it piece by piece to know right. how they got to that lump sum. So couldn't we ask for them to provide that?
We can, and that's what I had actually talked to David about doing that. Maybe we can take those bids that they have and ask them to do that. But, you know, I don't think we're going to be hurt if we give a little more time and get some more bids. I'd like to see more bids.
Mr. Bailey, you have any thoughts?
Yeah. So, David, how if we started this, if we took one of these proposals, one of the two, they're basically the same, when would they start?
If the council awards that, the first thing we would do is they would the contractor would have to get their bid performance bond in place and sign the contract. That typically takes about a week to 2 weeks to get the bonds in place, get all the paperwork done, have a pre-construction meeting. So they're a couple weeks before they would start. I mean, we haven't talked to them about when they could start, but
right. So maybe mid-October.
Yeah.
Okay, and then. Because looking at the design here, and I had some comments, Dave actually emailed me, and now I'm not on the Parks or Trails Committee or anything like that, but he had expressed some concerns with some grassy areas, particularly going from like the playground over to the actual grass field. There's not really a path that our sketch shows, so that would. To me, it looks like then we would have to route our kids or our patrons, you know, through the parking lot over to the grass thing.
No, there's a sidewalk there. This is
maybe there's another sheet, another design sheet.
Right here, the sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought there was a path there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's one of we discussed that. Way
okay,
back
perfect.
In the day.
So, I guess the question is if we started in October, let's say October 15th. When would it be done, including the asphalt, the concrete? When could we expect it to be done? Because of the winter, there again, I know.
Yeah, realistically, you're looking springtime next year.
So April?
April or May. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say we went with Mike and Rob's idea, and we pushed out the bids again, got our 5% or whatever. Discount and whatnot, and we started this whole process in January. How long from January till it would be done? Would it still be able to be done in April, May-ish, or are we talking about October, November?
No, it would be done approximately the same time. It might be May, June time frame. I mean, a month and a half. I don't know. It'll be close to the exact same time.
Okay, so. The argument isn't that we've approved it because we have approved it. It's just been approved for 15 years or longer. And I agree with Jenny that we do need to get this done for these citizens. It's just a matter of how much, because my math shows we're 136,000 or so over budget based on what the engineer had. Explain, but
we have more than that in the fund set aside for that.
Right, but if it's only, I guess I'm with Jenny. I want a set date when we're going to start and a set date when it's going to be. I mean, they're contractors. Then they can't tell you exactly when they're going to be done, but relatively. What I don't want is okay, we're going to start in May and then readdress this in May.
That's right.
What I'd like to do is vote on something and say, we will start this project. Because there's, in reality, even if we did start it right now, the grass isn't going to be growing. The shrubs, like you say, I don't even know if we could find shrubs to plant them or if they'd even survive. So the park from here till April is not even going to be usable.
They can do grading anytime, right?
They can do it through January.
But they can build it through that time. What I'm saying is that the end user isn't going to be able to use it until a specific time. So what I would like to see is we will start this by this date, a drop-dead date to start it, so that these families – I didn't realize that this article was in 2009, but that's when my kids were little, and I'm with – with some of these. I don't have little kids anymore, you know, and so, but I know they, well, Angela does.
What dates would you propose?
I'm sorry.
What dates would you propose?
I don't want to push it off for another year or two.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but the more you restrict the bid, that means the less bid you're going to get.
Absolutely.
So for that reason, I would say put it out to rebid again and right. see what comes back.
And I'd like to do that like Rob and Mike had said, but not extend it, come January, we only got one bid. Sorry, you know what? If that's what we got, then that's what we're going
to
go.
What if we said January 1st it has to start and May 31st it has to be done?
I don't think we can get it done by May.
Restricting the bids, and that means you're going to get less bids. So,
which is the risk, right? And that's the thing. So we've talked like the golf course nets is a good example to me. When we approved it, so when the time it gets started, it's a big gap because they've already booked their schedules. And so if we wait to bid it out later on, there's always the chance that those contractors already have other things scheduled and they say, yeah, we're happy to do it, but we can't start until April or May or whenever. If construction is really booming, and I hear it really is, then, you know, they may already be taking projects even now. And so that's I don't mind if we want to rebid it right now and revisit this again soon, but even waiting a few months, my concern is that if we wait till January and then we open the process for several weeks and we don't get, you know, we maybe tentatively approve something in March, by that time, we don't have any guarantee that it's going to be cheaper, and we don't have any guarantee they can start that
right.
soon.
And I wouldn't even say months. I would say a month.
So, David, is there anything magical about January? There's not, right?
No.
So we can rebid it anytime we want.
Yeah.
So it seems as if the prudent thing to do is circle back with Bowen Collins. Does anyone have a problem with using Bowen Collins?
To do what?
Well, they're the ones that have been orchestrating this bid. They're the ones that said that their estimate for the bid should be about $353,000. Came in at $518,000 and $520,000. So they're the ones that would reorchestrate the second bid unless someone wanted to go with a different engineering firm. I don't know why you would. I mean, we've had good experience with Bowen Collins.
Do we use them to go out for the bid? Don't we just send the request for proposal out ourselves?
We advertise it in the paper, but they prepare all the bid specifications and documents. So,
but why would they need to re-prepare?
They won't re-prepare. All they'll do is break the line items out, and instead of doing a lump sum, they would say, give us a price for this type of plant. Give us a price for this many feet of curb and gutter, this many square feet of asphalt. Okay. We would ask them to break that out so the contractors are giving us unit prices.
Okay. Any other?
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering, David just mentioned putting the bid in the newspaper, and I'm wondering if there's a way for staff to be more aggressive in seeking bids so that we can get more responses.
Usually, Bowen and Collins, they've bid several parks, so usually they will also call contractors that have bid other projects and invite them to come look at the plans and give us a price as well. And that's typically your best avenue to get bids are from other bid packages that have gone out for other parks in other cities. So we can definitely invite bidders.
My concern with delaying is twofold. One is it can cause our costs to increase because costs always increase every year. And we might end up in the same situation and just have wasted time. If we were going to rebid this, I would say it needs to be rebid right away. You know, I would do it immediately. And I would say, let's give explicit instructions to Bowen Collins. They should be very aggressive in calling as many contractors as they can to try to let them know about this opportunity.
One of the issues to keep in mind, and we can definitely rebid it right away, that's fine. But right now, all the contractors, they are trying to finish up all the jobs that are on right now because they know winter's coming. And I know I was an estimator for an asphalt company for many years. And at the end of the year, I was more concerned about getting jobs done than bidding a new job. As soon as the snow flies and I knew my projects had wound down, then I would put effort into bidding more projects. But We can do it any time. My recommendation would be that if it's November timeframe, that's fine too. By then, contractors are saying, "Hey, I'm finishing up with my jobs that I had this last fall. Looking forward to the next year." They have time to give prices. Right now, they don't even have the time to dedicate. That's why we only got two bids, is these contractors just didn't have time to really give us the effort.
Mr. Zappala, do you have any other questions or comments?
No, my only other comment is just that I would echo a lot of the concerns that Jenny explained, that we've really put this off for a long, long time.
Okay, very good. All right, I'll take a motion on this item then.
All right, I will make a motion. I motion that we not award a contract for the construction of Bay Hill Park at this time, but that we direct staff to immediately send out new bids with the requirement that Bowen and Collins aggressively pursue bids, and that we receive bids back for council to review by the first meeting in November, with a planned start date at the beginning of 2017 and a finish date by beginning of summer 2017.
Okay, I have a motion.
I'll second that.
Wait, could I request amendment?
Well, he seconded it.
I'll second it. Now open this discussion.
Go ahead.
Just to make sure that Bowen and Collins does it line item by detail.
Oh, yes. Yes, I accept that amendment that they provide bids that are line item.
I'd like to suggest a couple of amendments too.
What's that?
I'd like to suggest a couple of amendments also.
You need to suggest it to Mrs. Reese.
Right. One is that you're more specific on the conclusion date.
Okay.
You said beginning of summer, right?
Yeah, so I would say like June, so it's available to use
in June.
In June, July, and August.
I would agree with that. And then the other suggestion, based on what David said, would you consider maybe just putting it back 2 weeks just to give them time for, like you said, when the snow flies, then they have more time? Would you consider putting it out 2 weeks longer for the bid?
So that bids come in by November? I think the hard part is that we only, how many meetings do we have in November? I know we only have one meeting in December. We only have one meeting in November. So that's the hard part, is that because it's an election year, we only have one meeting in November anyway and one meeting in December, which is why I'd like to review it at the end of October. So if we have any changes, we have time.
When is the meeting in November? It'd be later in November.
It'll be the second.
There's
it'll
the
be
the first and the 15th.
Yeah.
So there's two meetings in.
There are two meetings. So I would be fine if we had bids ready to go by November 1st. Is that our first meeting, November 1st? But I think if we explain to these contractors that we're not expecting them to start until January, so they know they're not starting until winter, that should have an impact. We're not asking them to start right away. We're asking them to start in the winter, which is apparently when they're slower anyway.
Okay. Okay, and you accepted Mr. Geddes's?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I have a motion with its changes. Mr. Bailey, do you accept all of those changes? Okay, any further discussion? All right, let's have a vote. Let's start with Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Bailey.
Aye.
The motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Let's move on to item number 9, which is also an action item. This is placing a temporary moratorium on issuing permits for renewable energy systems. Mr. Goodwin, you're presenting.
Mayor and Council, we've discussed renewable energy systems before. I believe we discussed it last month. We've taken the issue to the Planning Commission. They're working. They had a discussion item on this last month, and they're going to review some code this month and possibly make a review action, a review recommendation to this body for review action next month. And you've been given in your packet a sample of the code that we're proposing. In the meantime, we have received one application for ground-mounted solar, because we don't have any framework to approve, deny their application outside of what an accessory structure is. We're treating it as an accessory structure. So what we're proposing is to place a temporary moratorium on solar and wind, renewable energies that are, in this case, excluding roof-mounted solar, while staff and Planning Commission and the Council finalize this code. That way we have a framework whereby we can approve these types of things. Our concerns are generally around the nuisances that these types of systems could create, whether it's a wind system causing flicker in somebody's window, a noise of a generator, a solar panel that reflects light into a neighbor's yard, or creating a attractive nuisance for people to go, for kids to go play around. Those solar panels can get very hot. So that's where we are right now. We do have, with the application that we have right now, we have to process it under the current guidelines in the city. So like I said, we're treating it as an accessory structure because we don't have any other framework to approve, deny that. So what we have right now is a proposal to enact a moratorium that would last until December 15th that would exclude, like I said, house-mounted solar systems, and that's so that some of these homes that are in the area that can take advantage of federal rebates and tax incentives that are going on. And I believe that's all we have. Are there any questions?
Okay. Council, I think everyone, we spoke about this during work session. I think everyone's read their packets. Any questions or comments for Mr. Goodwin?
Just a clarifying point. You might have mentioned it, but I didn't hear it just barely, that we're still allowing roof-mounted solar?
Yes. Okay. Correct. This will not exclude those applications. We'll treat
that's the only concern I would have had after reading the packet, is that people might be in the middle of that. But since we're excluding those, that's great.
Yeah, well, the building department does have some concerns with that. The new code will address some of those concerns, I hope. Mm-hmm. Our big concern right now, and I don't imagine that we're going to preclude anyone from making an application, because a ground-mounted solar is not very common. Roof-mounted wind turbines are not very common. But just to play it on the safe side, we're going to propose this moratorium.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Goodwin? If not, I'll take a motion on this item.
I'll make the motion.
Go ahead.
Due to the countervailing public interest in the need to mitigate any detrimental impacts to the community, the City Council votes to enact a 3-month moratorium on accepting solar and wind powered installation permits to begin immediately and last until December 15th, subject to the following conditions. And the only condition I would add there would be that we get approval of the Planning Commission before it comes back to
approval
City
of the Planning Commission.
The recommendation from the Planning Commission.
Yes, we're not approving any code. We're just approving the moratorium. They're going to
recommendation. So we'll just leave it at that then.
Yeah. Okay. Make the exception for the house-mounted
solar. With house-mounted solar systems shall be exempt from the terms of the moratorium.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Mr. Bailey seconded it. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote. Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Bailey.
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Let's move on to item number 10. Mr. Bunker, you're presenting on an item, also an action item, on adding, amending, or deleting certain portions of the City of Cedar Hills Personnel Policy and Procedures Manual. Go right ahead.
Mayor and Council, we've had an annual audit with the Utah Retirement Systems, URS, and in that evaluation, the person reviewing our policies and procedures asked that we add a section in there regarding public employees' non-contributory retirement system regulations, specifically that we would clarify the temporary seasonal or elected official benefits for URS. And so we have put that in the manual. Along with that, we also added some other house cleaning items. We do have a Tier 1 and a Tier 2 URS contribution. Anyone who came into the system before 2011, I believe it was, is a Tier 1. Anybody after is a Tier 2. Also, the city changed its contribution to the Social Security system, so the city is no longer participating in that and donating to that on behalf of employees, so that has been changed. We also added a section in the policy and procedures on fraud, fraud prevention, and so we have an annual training with on that as a city, and as part of our annual audit, we cover that as well. There's a few other items in there, a few other changes, minor changes, but you guys have those in your packet. Those are the main items. Does anybody have any questions about those?
We should probably clarify that the council, and I would imagine, and maybe not part-time, can already participate in URS's 401k plan. So that's already available to you guys. There's no match, but you can put money into it. But I think what Mr. Bunker is referring to is the URS pension program, which is a defined benefit plan. And so
that's right.
If you wanted to change the policy to allow part-time employees and elected officials to participate in the defined benefit plan and health insurance as well, is that part of the discussion, David?
I think they can
already participate in health insurance if they wanted to, right?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't. So this actually from Rachel Pazell was just the defined benefit plan for retirement coverage. So that's all that she audited the city for.
I remember talking with Gretchen one time, and I thought she said that the elected officials could participate in health insurance, but they would have to pay for it themselves. I believe that's the way it goes. All right. So
is that true? They would have to pay for it themselves?
Yeah.
So they can't. And how much is that?
I'm not sure. I'd have to. It will vary depending on your age and who you have covered.
Right.
Single or family, things like that.
Well, one comment I'd just like to throw out, and I'm not that I would participate in it because I already have health insurance, but I do know that other cities do offer their elected officials health care benefits, and I would entertain that discussion if anybody's needing or wanting to discuss that. I would absolutely entertain that discussion. So that's the only comment I have.
I have a couple of questions. Yeah. So some of the changes are green and some are red. What is the difference there?
Let's see. The red were the additions. The green were questions that we had.
Questions, things that we need to revisit.
Okay, and then...
But they would stay in now.
There's no change there. It's just stuff that, hey, we need to take a look at this.
Okay. And then has David Shaw looked over all these changes?
I've not looked at the specific language, but I have gone over the concepts with David Bunker.
Okay. And then the only thing that I would suggest changing is on page 73 on item 8. It says additional privileges of employment, and it talks about golf course privileges, how the city employees get free golf privileges. At the end, it looks like we added that Lone Peak Public Safety and American Fort Police Department employees may receive complimentary greens fees at Cedar Hills Golf Club. However, they're responsible for payment of cart fees. I would just maybe add to that pertains as long as we have contracts with them. If not that we're changing, but if we ever did, we wouldn't want that to still be in there.
Good point.
No, I love Lieutenant Lydiard, so you have to stay with us. Sorry. We'll bribe you with greens fees.
Okay, so any comments, questions on this? Really what we're talking about is, do you want to allow, do other cities allow part-time employees? Because I'm aware that other cities, lots of cities, allow elected officials to participate in URS, but I don't know about part-time employees. Do you know?
Typically that they have to work at least 20 hours a week, and then it's prorated, typically.
Okay, so they are eligible after 20 hours.
Yeah, they can be. And that's just a policy decision. If the council wants to change that, we can. You can discuss that, and then we would add that to the budget. We would, you know, budget them in for this year or put it in next year's budget. But that would be up to you guys.
Okay. Comments, thoughts, questions?
So, clarification, did I hear you say that elected officials could participate in the health program as long as they paid for it 100%?
Well, you, as a council, you guys can decide to offer health insurance to the council at any time. That's your decision.
What I was saying is that I believe you can already participate in the city's group health policy, but you have to pay for your own coverage. What David is talking about is the council can choose to cover elected officials and part-time employees health insurance or URS defined benefit contributions.
Okay, so that's what I need clarification. So if, for instance, if I said, hey, maybe next year I'm going to get off of my program, can I come to the city and have them quote me for as my health insurance?
Provided I pay 100%.
Yeah, Gretchen quoted me, I think, 3 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I know the health, kind of the health industry has changed a lot. And we recently had to switch from I believe we are in a pooled system.
Yeah, we went from like the state pool to a select pool where we could get a better rate, or a rate that didn't increase as much, I should say. So they're very selective about who they allow into the pool.
So what that does is, let's say that we accept someone into the group who maybe has a high health insurance.
Everybody's rates go up.
Then we all pay more as a big group. So, but we can look into that. If the council's interested in that, we can explore that.
So does council want staff to look into the budget impact if they were to open up the defined benefit plan and health insurance to part-time employees over 20 hours and elected officials? That's really the question before you is whether you want staff to look in it more closely, maybe come back and give you some numbers about what the budget impact would be.
I'd be very much against elected officials getting those type of benefits, especially defined benefit plans. Those are really expensive. And I don't think we need this to become an occupation or a revenue source. I think it should be considered a service, not something that we benefit personally from.
Okay. So,
can I make a matter of clarification? The Tier 2 system, the state divides people into a Tier 1 and a Tier 2 system. Tier 1 employees were hired full-time prior to July 1st, 2011. These employees are part of the defined benefit plan. Employees now, they're talking about Tier 2. This is what this proposed change talks about. Tier 2 employees are full-time eligible employees that were hired after this July 1st, 2011 deadline. This is a defined contribution plan, so it's a little different.
It's a defined contribution, not a defined... So it's just the 401k.
As long as the city didn't contribute anything to it, I'm totally fine with it.
There is no match on the
us.
I'm the opposite. I'd like to see numbers. I mean, it doesn't hurt to have discussion on anything.
And of course, that one costs the city any money, though. That's easy, right?
URS.
I think what Councilmember Bailey is talking about is the health insurance cost.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I'd like to see numbers.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So we want to see some costs on health insurance, and if Chandler is correct, and I have no reason to think he's not, that it's only defined contribution, not defined benefit, you're already eligible to participate in that. And that's just putting your own money into it.
That's for retirement.
Yeah. On the other, I'm fine having a discussion. I don't mind discussing it.
Okay. Then I need someone to make a motion to table. Hold on. Daniel, do you have any comments on this before we make a motion?
Nope, not at all.
Okay,
all right. So the motion wouldn't be to table. It would to be approve the changes of the personnel policy manual, and then we will come back at a later time with some information regarding what it would impact the budget as far as health insurance.
So does that
we need these policies adopted so that we can comply with the URS audit.
Or a nightmare.
So even if we make changes to it, you still need it approved.
We need the changes that are proposed in it approved, along with the change that Councilmember Reese suggested. And then if the council decides to go with a contribution for health, then we can give you guys those numbers. We can put that in the budget. We would need a budget amendment.
Okay. Then somebody make a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the additions, the amendments, or deletion of certain portions of the City of Cedar Hills Personnel Policies and Procedure Manual as presented, subject to, do we have any subject?
Subject to the
one thing that I made.
Page 73.
Councilman Reese.
Page 73, that the Lone Peak Public Safety District, or AF, only be allowed to have the golf privilege as long as we're contracted with them.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. Reese seconds. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote. Mr. Bailey.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. That is it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll take a motion to adjourn our council meeting for this evening.
I move that we adjourn our meeting.
I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much.